We're not sure when it was written. Much of Jude appears in 2 Peter. I hate to read to you, but just so that I don't forget anything. Much of his letter appears in 2 Peter, which would probably put it around 65 to 70 A.D., some at least 30 years after Jesus was crucified. And we have even fewer clues as to where Jude was when he wrote the letter. He lived in Palestine, and he traveled a lot, so it could be almost anywhere. But that's not, of course, the point. We don't worry about where and when nearly as much as what's in it. Amen? We know that the first century church, there were serious threats to the gospel within the believers. There were a rise of many false teachers. Many of the writers of the New Testament mention false teachers. People that were trying to lure. As after Jesus' ministry, Jesus came and preached a whole different topic. It's almost like there's a new sheriff in town. We're going to do things different. The old law was fine while it lasted and for the time that it lasted. But Jesus said, what did he say? I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. Yes. So, rise of false teachers. Churches were divided. People's faith was weakened. And people were tempted to ignore beliefs and practices. Aren't we glad that there aren't any of those circumstances today? But maybe there are. When was the last time you watched the TV evangelist? And I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to judge that fellow on TV, he may be preaching the word. He may be preaching truth, but sometimes they're not. Sometimes it's very slanted. So be careful. Self-help books. There's a lot of good ones out there, and there's a lot that maybe aren't quite so good. Max Licato from San Antonio has written a number of books that I think are pretty sound for the most part. The preacher that we used to have in Brownwood used to say, especially on self-help books, if it's written by anyone that wasn't one of God's inspired writers, he said, as you read it, eat the meat and spit out the bones. Because there's going to be some things that you may not agree on. There's going to be some things that you're going to question. And that's okay. Because when you question it, where are you going to go to find out if it's truth or not? Go back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? And then basic teaching for today from Jude. Then we'll kind of get into the text. Is to protect and defend the gospel. Protect and defend the gospel. I would hope that would be one of our aims today. Accept the lordship of Jesus. Who was it? Was it Asher? Where is Asher? You told me that you came into church today with three toothpicks. And since it told me that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. So we are challenged and encouraged to accept that lordship that Jesus is. John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What's the rest of that? No man comes to the Father except through me. Doris's mother was raised in the Catholic Church. A lot of her family are still in the New York City and Boston area. Most of them are Catholics. And of course they believe that they go and that Catholic Church has a confessional and they go and ask forgiveness from the priest. We don't have to do that. We can take a nonstop flight to God. Okay, practice our faith in everyday living. We're going to see that in verse 20 and following. And express love for those who deny and doubt the faith. Boy, there's kind of a hard one. express love for those who deny our faith, for those who doubt, for those who might ridicule us or challenge us, for those that say, the Bible's an interesting book for a bunch of fairy tales. We have actually heard people say that. I don't know about you. I personally don't believe that. I personally believe it's the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. For all scriptures, God breathed. I even heard a man tell me one time, try to convince me, that, well, yeah, but that's really not the whole Bible. Really? He said, yeah, because when that was written, when Timothy was received, got that letter from Paul, they didn't have all of the New Testament. So it was just what they had up until that point. I said, well, if you want to believe that, that's fine, but I'm going to go with all Scripture is inspired by the Word of God. God breathed. Okay, so let's get into some text here. I don't know if Joe's sitting back there at the back. I don't know if he's getting close to that buzzer or not, like in class. Can I go as long as I want? I say, well, yeah, but we got food down there. Don't want to get it overdone. So let's pick up the reading. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. I had a word that I injected, kept safe by Jesus Christ. I picked that up from somebody that was given a lesson at one time. So, like I said, we've said Jude signed his name at the very beginning, and he's writing to Christians. Verse 3, dear friends, he gets right into it. He didn't waste any time. Because this is, like I said, this is a short. We're going to cover one whole book of the New Testament today. Okay? Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith. Urge you to contend for the faith. Is there anyone urging us today to contend for the faith? And what does that mean? Contend for the faith. I think it means stand firm for what we believe. And don't be afraid to let others know that. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So we're talking about true faith, contend for the faith. And what faith is he talking about? I think it's the gospel. I think that's what he's talking about. Flip over, just go back a little bit. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3 is what I want to. Well, let's just go start at the beginning. 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. He's talking to us today. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Now, verse 2, many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth to disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Are there people trying to exploit other people in today's world? I think both spiritually there are. And what about the lottery? You think people are being exploited for money? I'll leave that with you. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Verse 4, for God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for the... Okay, I didn't want to go that far. I'm in 2 Peter, not in Jude. All right, so let me get my thoughts back together. If I can find you, there it is. My Bible is coming apart in two or three places. The binding, I need to get it fixed. So let's go back to Jude, verse 5. Though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. What's he talking about? Delivered who out of Egypt? The Jewish nation? Who led them? Moses. What was the problem? They were slaves under Pharaoh, right? So he led them out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. What happened when Moses went up on the mountain and he received the law, Ten Commandments, and he came down and all the people were down there just breathlessly waiting for him, right? For this truth. No, not so much. They were partying and having a good time, and what had they constructed? Construct a big golden calf. That was all of a sudden, now they're God. And Moses said, what'd Moses do? He said, okay, you guys, if that's what you want to do. Nope. He threw the tablets out. He destroyed that golden calf. Verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. He's talking about hell. I believe that hell is waiting there just like heaven. And it depends on what we do during this lifetime as to which way we're going to go. So verses 5 and 6 and 7, we're talking about judgment. I like the part about the angels who did not keep their position of authority but abandoned their home. He has kept those in darkness. Angels have fallen. There are those that will try to make us believe that once you have become a Christian, and this is once you become a Christian, there's nothing else to worry about. In other words, you are saved, and that's all you got to worry about. You are saved, and you cannot fall. I think that there are this scripture among a couple others, in particular Hebrews. If you flip over to Hebrews real quick, chapter 10. And the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who it was possibly Paul, but we're not sure. In verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. That's why we're here. We're here to worship the King. We are not the audience. God is the audience. But we're here also to encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Here's verse 26. Here's the one that I think people who think, I'll just use the phrase, once saved, always saved. I think here's the one they need to think about a little more. If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there's no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire. I believe we can. If we turn our back on God, he will turn his back on us. Okay, so that in itself is another lesson. Ask Kevin to preach on that sometime. I'm sure he'd do a good job. So we'll get back to Jude. Okay, so let's move on. We're running out of time. In the first 10 verses, there's two mentions for his writing. In verse 3, verses 5 and 6, he addresses the last things and judgment. And verse 7, an example of those who will suffer in hell. verses 10 through 13, Jude portrayed false teachers. Let's look at 10. Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. Now he's talking about these false teacher guys, okay? And what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, they are the very things that destroy them. Down to verse 12 is kind of the result. These men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. What do you do with the fruit tree that doesn't bear fruit? Most people cut it down. You might give it 1 year because it may just have an off year, but a fruit tree that doesn't bear fruit, you normally cut it down. I think God looks at us in a very similar way. And it mentioned twice dead. Twice dead. I think that's talking about a physical death and a spiritual death. So, there are wild waves of the sea, verse 13, foaming up their shame, wandering stars, whom the black has done. This gets kind of abstract, verses 10 through 13. It gets kind of deep. So, thank goodness for commentaries to help guys like me. Jude portrayed false teachers as blemishes. At the charity feast, which I think he's referring to the Lord's Supper, the charity feast connected with the Lord's Supper, verse 14 and 15, the Lord is coming to judge who? How many? Everyone. The Lord's coming to judge everyone. Let's look at verse 14 and 15. He talks about Enoch, the seventh from Adam. I think that means the seventh generation. Who Enoch prophesied about these guys. He says, see, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and convict all the... Now, I want you to count the terms that he uses the word ungodly. Convict all of the ungodly, of all the ungodly acts that they have done in an ungodly way, and have all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Four references to the ungodly. These men are grumblers, faith finders, and follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. So that's what he's trying to warn all these people about. He has, like I said, he is angry at the people who are not living the way they should, and, of course, trying to lead others along that same way. Now for the good news. But dear friends, here's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. What the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold, they, the apostles, said to you in the last times, I'm in verse 17, by the way, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, verse 20, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. What did we talk about at the end of the book of James? He said, anyone who will save another one from sin, be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them, and to others show mercy. Boy, sometimes that's hard. At least it's hard for me, showing mercy. Verses 20 to 23. Just advice for us today. Advice for Christians then in the first century, and it's just as meaningful, I think, for us today. So, we're here at the end. Joe hasn't buzzed me yet. The trap door hasn't opened. I haven't been gonged. But I want to leave you with a couple of things. old country boy in Texas, when every time he gives a lesson, he always gets to the end, he says, I got to give you something to put in your bucket. Put in your bucket to take with you. So who is this guy named Jude? Who is that guy named Jude? Well, he was a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen? He encourages us to do likewise. He considers himself a servant, not an apostle or a disciple. He doesn't consider himself to be anywhere near any kind of high, lofty position. He's a servant with both feet on the ground. Much like Paul, and hopefully like we should strive to be. Now give me the next slide. This is a book, before we do an invitation, Monty's going to lead an invitation for us in just a minute. This is a book that Doris and I ran into about 3 years ago. And it's called Churches in the Shape of Scripture. And I don't know, the little subheading is Churches of Christ and the Quest to Be More Than Just Another Evangelical Church, written by a guy named Dan Chambers. Dan is a preacher at a fairly large church in Nashville, Tennessee. And we read this. It's an easy read. It's not very, it's maybe 200 pages. It's got 7 chapters. And if you have ever wondered or want to help someone else who is wondering, what do we believe and why do we believe it? Dan, this is not a commentary book. It's not his opinions. It is a book that he gives. There are, like I said, there are 7 chapters, each one dealing with one of the pillars of faith of the New Testament church. I'm not even going to say the Church of Christ. I think we are the Church of Christ. We are a church that follows Christ. But the 7 pillars of a New Testament church, and he gives numerous, numerous scriptures behind each one. There's a chapter, I don't remember them all, kind of an introductory chapter. There's one on certainly on baptism, on music, on gender roles. Then the very end chapter I like, because chapter 7 is myths and misconceptions of the churches of Christ. It's just a good read. It's available on Amazon, Walmart. It's probably, Doris told me, it's a little bit cheaper. Or just go online and order it on Walmart. And so, but anyway, it's great for teaching, for using for devos, or like I said, just to answer questions. And this is not inspired now, okay? So eat the meat and spit out the bones. We just found that there's not a lot of bones in this one. We really like it. So I'm going to leave you with that thought. And hopefully, you know, that will help you if you need it or want it. So Monty's going to lead us in an invitation.